We've been doing a series on the church. I love my church. I'm thankful Rick wore his t-shirt today. We have one guy that loves their church today. I appreciate that, Rick. I know what a sacrifice you stand out in. And I wore mine around town, and man, do I get looks. That bright red, but that's good. Boy, a lot of kids today, huh? All right. We've had an introductory sermon. Last week, Pastor Aaron talked about our church and love as a community of believers. This morning, I want to talk about serving. The service purpose of this message this morning. And I, you have to make up your own. You can't just, they have canned stuff, but to me, the purpose is to understand God's perfect design. Could we turn those lights off? I don't need those lights. Boy, I know they're there for me, but thank you. I can't see you as good. I'm not on, anyway. The purpose is that we would understand God has a really great purpose in mind for the church. And that is, I think, to demonstrate his love. And that the world would be, even when they look at the world should look at the church and say, wow, that's a beautiful place. That's a beautiful thing. It's sad that the world doesn't look at the church that way. But the truth of the matter is, I believe God designed the church so that the world would see his love. And I want you to turn with me to begin to illustrate what I'm trying to say, to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. And beginning in just one verse, verse 21, John 17, 21. Well, verse 20 says, I do not pray for these alone, that is, the disciples who are with him that night, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Now look what he says, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. Now, how one is the Father and the Son? Is there any more description of oneness in all the universe? God the Father and God the Son are so one. But notice what he says, that they may be one, speaking of the church, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. I believe that God's design and purpose of his church is that the world could see his love. And I hope that when the world looks at Grace Baptist Church, they see his love. They should see his love in our love for one another, in our love for them, in their need of coming to know God, and which leads me to the next verse, John 13, familiar verse, more familiar, but in John 13, verse 34 and 35, where Jesus, in his last night with his disciples, and by the way, that was his last night as well. This whole section of John is his last night with his disciples, but he said to them, verse 34, John 13, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this will all know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Now, there's different ways that we can show love for one another, but I want to talk about the way of serving each other, ministering to each other today, and using our spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit and the Father and the Son have given to you. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, He has given to you spiritual gifts. And He's given to you those gifts to use in the body to show love for each other. Now, we're going to look at that theme today. And I want to help you identify the important role that your service plays in the body of Christ in building one another up, and so that together we show the love of God to the world. Let me read that again. I want you to identify or to see your important role, and I'm talking to each and every one, and I could go around and name you by name. Your important role in the body of Christ, and the important role that you play a part in the body of Christ, that we would love each other and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ to the world that's watching. Now let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, I need you so much, as in every message, in every study of every message. I know, Lord Jesus, that we are nothing without you. And this is asking that you would speak through your word and your truth to each heart this morning, and that we might ask ourselves, what gifts have you given us to play a part in the body of Christ here and in our community? Please, Jesus, get all the glory to your name. Amen. We all know what a superhero is. Maybe you had a superhero growing up. I was going to ask you who your superhero was. Believe it or not, this shows you how old I am, but I had a couple. When I was a little kid, the guy I wanted to be like was Tarzan. Now, I know he wasn't a superhero, but I could do his yell, and I would try to copy his yell. And I had a good friend that Stacy knows in Phillipsburg. His name is Todd. And he could do Tarzan's call better than me. And I was so jealous of him because Susie was Jane. And I wanted Jane, and Todd always ended up with Jane. That's a true story. Oh, no. I don't have any voice as it is. But as I got older, and I wasn't that old, Batman came on the scene. The real Batman. I'm not talking about this ugly, dark, black Batman. He was the good guy in blue tights and red shorts, I think. I don't know. I don't, you know. But he was back when Batman was a good guy and Robin was his assistant. That's the silliest thing I know. But superheroes plays a big part of children's lives. And it still plays, and by the way, it plays a very big part in Hollywood. You know that? Superheroes plays a very big part in Hollywood. And Randy, can you pull up that video that's on Google Chrome? I risk, there's one foul word, not foul, but a different word. But this illustrates that we are a church, and whether you realize it or not, you're a superhero. You're a superhero. We're going to talk about that. Go ahead, Randy. We have sound. It looks like the sound may be blocked. Well, anyway, that's all right. That's good. It isn't wanting to work, so that's all right. But anybody familiar, the children, are you, any of you familiar with the Avengers? Who are the Avengers? Captain America, Thor, all these superheroes with supernatural power. One has a big sledgehammer. Thor. And then there's other guys that can blow people up with their eyes. And then there's the guy, turns into the Hulk, and he, you know. But all these superheroes. And the bad people, the demon people, were coming to blow up the United States. And the last thing they had hope in was to call up all the superheroes. Because only the superheroes could defeat the bad dark forces. And the reality is, you are, through the power of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, a supernatural hero. I'm going to illustrate that. And Debbie Wolford, I've asked her. Debbie shared a story last week. And why don't you come, Deb? I asked Debbie. Debbie shared with me, which led me to this sermon series. One time she just said, "Pastor, I just love our church." Go up to the mic, Deb. "I just love our church." And I've had other people say that to me, and that's what led me to this sermon series, "I Love Christ Church." And so Deb's going to share her story.
Just one?
Right there. And you got to talk a little bit loud, Deb.
I don't think I talked. I think I can do that. I want to start off with a verse. "Start children off in a way that they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it." Proverbs 22:6. I was raised in a family that did go to church every Sunday, and Sunday evenings, and sometimes Wednesday. But what was most remarkable in my childhood was a lady by the name of Mrs. Elizabeth Tess. She lived like in the middle of 4th Street, and everybody that surrounded us was family, grandmas, grandparents, aunts, and uncles. Somehow we were all related. We all went to the same church. But this Good News Club that she had in her home brought back great memories because she taught us and we learned. She made it fun. We had a quiet chair. And if you sat in a quiet chair, it was random. You got a small trinket. It was never candy, but it was some kind of like they get out of free tea bags or something back in the day. And I was always excited to go. I couldn't wait to get there. More so than what going to church, because it was very strict. My dad was very strict, and we didn't dare do too much. So needless to say, I learned so much from that Good News Club. And whenever I went to a faith day up at Reservoir Park, I heard the choir. I heard Pastor Roy. And I was looking for something, and Bill and I was looking for a church. In every place we went, we felt welcome, but I didn't feel like I belonged. So we drove past one day, and Bill said, "We're going to go to that church one of these days, next Sunday." I said, "Okay." So we did, we came. And we were greeted by Mary Ellen, and Sam, Dave, and Francis, and they welcomed us. I mean, I felt welcome. We came in, and I thought, oh boy, I hope they don't ask me to do anything right away. Because my favorite word at that time of life was no. Everybody was kind. Everybody was nice. I felt accepted. I felt like I could be a part of something. Before I knew it, I was helping out with Awana, listening to verses. And then before I knew it, Miss Phoebe got me on the van. And needless to say, you know, I haven't stopped doing that. But I anticipate coming to church. I don't like getting up in the morning on my days off, but I anticipate coming to this church. The people here, I love you. I'm going to stop there, but okay. Okay. One thing I've learned about this church, the word of the Bible has never changed. I've gone to churches where interpretation changed to make things seem that were wrong okay. And, you know, and I was sometimes swayed, and I was swayed. I can honestly say, I, as a sinner I am, I was swayed to believe some of the wrongs were right. And then I came here and realized the Bible never changes. The word is the word. And I haven't backed down since then. My husband and I got baptized. We learned more about the church. We learned so much that I just love coming. You know, I love coming Sunday evenings to learn more. The small groups are so important. Everybody in this room can play some kind of a small part, big part, to help. Mentorship programs out there, children, youth. There's just so much that we can do. And for our community, God's, you know, he has no limits on our abilities. And he gives us all gifts. And I never really thought I had one. But he showed me I can. Thank you.
Now, I said about superheroes, that we are all superheroes in God's sense. And what I mean by that is, years ago, Sally Woolmer, and I'm sure Susan, some of you grew up in Good News Club. Debbie mentioned in Bellwood, the Good News Club. But I want you to know the powerful influence that those teachers, those lady teachers, they were truly supernatural ladies. Though they were common people, Betty Buderbaugh, Shirley Beckwith, I think even Judy back there, but Gertie Summers, some of these people, in fact, they were gifted to teach and could teach children better than I could teach children. Because they had the gift of teaching. And they did it out of a heart of love. And that love and God's word was communicated to the people who were there, the children who were there. And it made such an impression upon your lives that your lives today, many of your lives today, have been shaped by those young years of your life being taught by superheroes that dressed like common people. Now, I have a couple pictures. I brought these up a couple weeks ago, but love and sharing the gospel. Practice love by imparting Jesus' life and teachings. You know, your life is a powerful influence to others around you. You may not realize it, but you are touching hearts when you use your gift to serve the Lord. Whether it's leading us in worship or the choir or love and serving others. This is Rusty up. We're helping build a church down in Virginia, helping a congregation. The people that helped us that came in to build this building, we have gone out and helped other churches build their buildings. Love and serving one another, whether you do it in singing. You are serving. You are serving a very important part. Hear me. Please hear me. You are serving a very important part in the body of Christ. Now, I have so much here in this message this morning, and I want to try to keep us to part and play here. But you have superpowers. What are those superpowers? What are your super? You don't have a spider web coming out of your hand, do you? I hope not. Or lightning bolts coming out of your eyes. But you have a heart with a spiritual gift that God has given you to serve and to play a powerful part in changing lives in his church. You have supernatural powers. We're going to keep that up there, but in 1 Corinthians, if you'll turn there with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit of God. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord Jesus Christ. And there are diversities of activities or energy workings, but it is the same God who works all in all. You see, I want you to catch this. The God is the one working in you and through you in your gift. Now you say, well, what are you talking about gifts? When Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again, when he ascended, he gave gifts to men. And he gave gifts to every one of his believers. We all have been given a gift. If you read on here in verse 12. Well, let me skip on. I apologize. Chapter, I have this. Chapter 12, verse 11, I believe it is. It says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. He has given you gifts, and he's distributed them. And it's in the passive. He's given these to you. And he gave you gifts according to his will. You didn't choose the gift you have. Let me say that again. You didn't choose the spiritual gift you have. He gave it to you according to his will. And that's what that verse teaches. And as well, if you would look at verse 18, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. So it is God who gives you his gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, you have a supernatural power in the gifts. God is the one who picked your gift. In Romans chapter 12, it's another scripture text on the gifts of the Spirit. Romans chapter 12, if you'll turn there with me. One book back, Romans chapter 12. And look at verse 6 with me. Having then gifts, that is the word charisma, differing according to the grace that is given to us. So God picks out your gift. You don't pick it out. It's important to realize that we didn't put in an application for a gift. We didn't apply. God in his infinite wisdom and his foreknowledge, in his love and his plan, knew exactly which gifts were best suited for you and that he needed for the church that you serve in. So don't waste time being jealous of someone else's gift, when you should be spending time developing your own. Just think, God blessed you and he entrusted you with this specific ability to make a difference in your church, in your community, and in the world. And then it is a Spirit-empowered gift. It is a Spirit-empowered gift. And this is very important to understand. And I want you to turn to back to 1 Corinthians with me. Turn over to, not back, but forward. To 1 Corinthians chapter 2. All of these scriptures are just so clear. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I want you to see something here, that the Holy Spirit is the one who empowers your gift. Verse 4, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Please hear that. He's saying that when he was teaching and preaching, he was preaching the mysteries, the undisclosed things. And there's some new believers here that probably you've never been taught about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And they're in your bulletin there today that you, for you to study and to think about what gift you might have. But he says, verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. Now, I want you to skip down to verse 12. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For his Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. And he talks about how that God would use him, and I want you to get this. God would use him supernaturally with his gifts to bring the gospel to people and for people's eyes to be opened, to be saved. Say, how would a guy on Mars Hill in Athens, Greece, hear for the first time the name of Jesus Christ and hear the gospel of salvation, of faith in him, and believe? I'll tell you how. The power of the Holy Spirit. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that saves a soul. And for example, Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he says verse 5, 1 Corinthians 3 verse 5, who then is Paul, or who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his labor. Now here's what I want you to understand. Here's what I'm trying to say. God gives to people spiritual gifts. And when they use those spiritual gifts, they're empowered to accomplish what only God can accomplish. Only God can accomplish saving a soul. And God has to work through the kitchen crew at times to save a soul. I want you to hear that. God works through ushers such as Dave Ryder to give a warm welcome to someone who walks in here that's never been saved. They've never heard the gospel of Christ, that Christ died for their sins on the cross, was buried and rose again, and they must believe in him and accept him as their Savior and turn from their sin and follow him. You must. But only God can. Paul can preach the word. Apollos can come in and water the seed of the word, but only God can save a soul. And what I'm trying to say here, Paul couldn't boast. Apollos couldn't boast. Roy Garthwaite can't boast. We have been given by God spiritual gifts, and even the power with which we minister them, the energy with which we minister them, is from God. Please hear that. And he gives them to all of us that we would each play our part in serving each other with those gifts and building each other up. Now, we all play a part, but only it's God who picks your gift. It's the Holy Spirit who empowers your gift. And by the way, it's God who even gives you the measurement of your gift. In Romans chapter 12, once again, if you'd turn there to me, because this is so cool. Romans chapter 12. Let me ask you a question. Does Billy Graham have a greater measure of faith in the gift of preaching than Roy Garthwaite? Yes, absolutely. A million times more. Now, therefore, when Billy Graham compares himself to Roy Garthwaite, can Billy Graham say, boy, I'm a bigger man. There's a lot of TV celebrities. I'm a pretty big dude on the TV block, aren't I? A lot of guys got big heads on the TV block. You ever think about that? And a lot of men have fallen who are on the TV block because they got a big head. And there's a lot of preachers, a lot of pastors who have fallen because they think they're something. But I want you to understand this. In chapter 12 and verse 4, it says, let me start in verse 3. Now, this is Paul writing, "For I say, through the grace given to me." Now, let me ask you a question. Would Paul compare to Billy Graham? The measurement of the gift of preaching that Paul had, would he compare to Billy Graham? I think so, humanly speaking. But now look at this. "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you," to all of us here today, "not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly," in other words, with common sense, "as God has dealt or divided out to each one a measure of faith." And here's that word measure, which is the Greek word metron. We get our word metric from it. And I've taught you this before. But for some reason, in God's all-knowing sovereignty and plan, he measures up, he metrons out a larger amount of faith to Billy Graham. And he measures out a certain amount of faith to Roy Garthwaite. Amen? And he measures out a certain amount of faith to Jim Nalton. And he measures out a certain amount of faith to every person. You have a gift of the Holy Spirit and a measurement to use your gift according to the ability that God gives you. Now, I think you can improve your giftedness. I think you can make more of your giftedness with use. As you use your gift, you can grow in using it. I hope I'm a better pastor today than I was when I started, 35 years ago. But the point is, God measures out a gift to Rick, and he gives it to a certain size. And Mary Beth, and to every person in this room that's a believer in Jesus Christ. But he expects you to use your gift in the body of Christ to serve each other in love and to use your gift. And I believe Well, excuse me. If you would turn with me, and I have so much more, but I'm going to close with this text in Ephesians 4, because Dave Grazier has been teaching on this. Ephesians chapter 4. And this text just becomes as simple as A, B, C, a very complex scripture. But it's made simple when you understand what it's saying. In verse 9 of Ephesians 4, now this, he ascended, what does it mean? I apologize. Verse 7, 4:7. But to each one of us, there's each one individually, each one of us, he has given to each one of us grace. That is the word charisma, was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. There is the same principle. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. That's his church. In verse 11, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now notice what he says it's for. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministering. You see, he gave pastors and teachers, prophets, teaching gifts to seek to equip you, to encourage you, and equip you to use your gift. He wants you to use your gift in the body. Now, and he says why here. He says why in this very text. In verse 15, well, there's a lot of in between, but I wanted to get to verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, that is Christ, from whom the whole body joined, is the word, fitted together and knit together. We are fitted together and knit together. We are a body by what every joint supplies. Every joint is us, is you and me. We all are knit together to which every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Does its share. You see, God doesn't expect you to do my share. But God does expect you to use your gift to do your share in the work of Jesus Christ, in the kingdom's work. And when every part does its share, notice what it says will happen. It causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, how excited are you to use your gift? How excited are you to find out what your gift is and where you fit into the body? And if you've ever worked in something and you just realize, you know, I don't fit here. Deb, the reason you didn't fit in those other churches is because you're going to fit here. You go to some church, you can tell if you fit or you don't fit. There's people who have come in here, they didn't fit. They were used to maybe a more formal type of service. And not a guy up there yelling at them. Or making them mad. I'm going to make somebody mad here today. I got to make you mad. I don't make you mad to make you sad. I make you mad to make you glad. You have to believe that, don't you? Please. I honestly want to provoke you, as if Hebrews says, to love and good works. We're called to provoke each other to love and what? Good works. Now, the word provoke means to irritate. To irritate you. That's what it means. I'm dead serious. It's used in Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. In a negative sense. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, but we're called to provoke one another to love and to good works. Now, I don't know where I got this picture. This is a sermon. I didn't put it all. I want to get right here. Teamwork. Ants. You know, ants are the most teamworking thing in all the world. They work together like you wouldn't even believe. I have a video on how they work together, and they have little ants, and they have a job, and then they have big ants, and they have a different job, but it all accumulates to the edifying and the growth and the happiness of the whole ant pile. But they all have a job. I have a video. I'll be happy to show it to you, but I don't have time. It's a couple minutes. I was so cool. I was watching two ants. There were two branches, and the branches were apart. And you know what those ants did? They reached out to each other and made a bridge over those two broken branches. And all those other ants went over top of them. Work together. That's the beauty of Christ's church. We must understand that we're working for the whole of the love in the church and the building up of the church and the reaching out to the community in love so that when they come in here, they see a people that love each other. And they come to Sunday school and they have great teachers. They come to Awana and they have 50 adults out there working with all these brats, dirty kids. I'm talking about your kids. But teamwork. I'm dead serious. It's all about teamwork. Not everybody's called to Awana. Awana's a great ministry. I've been on the van, ran out of gas, Debbie remembers. I thought it said full and it said empty. The gas gauge was backwards in that van. But I'm dead serious. Teamwork is so important in a church. Teamwork. Great things are done by a series of small things brought together. Vincent van Gogh said that. Great things are done by a series of small things brought together. Romans 12:11 says, not slow or hesitant in effort. The word is translated lazy. Remember when Jesus said, he rebuked the servant, he says, you wicked and lazy servant. You know what a lazy person is? You want to know what a lazy person is? The Bible tells you. But not lazy in effort, but zealous in serving the Lord. Zealous in serving the Lord. Debbie said it. She's excited. I don't know how she can be excited to get on that van with all those kids. I really don't. But she's gifted to love kids. And it makes a difference. Not only with using your gift, but in the right field of ministry in using your gift. But zealous in serving the Lord. Now, this is a slug. How fast does a slug move? Not very zealous. Not very fast. Anybody know what this is? You're right. It's a sloth. It's a sloth. I did some research. I happened to do some research for our sermon here today. This is a sloth. Whoop. Don't be slothful in effort. Can you turn those lights down a little bit? You can't see this very well, but a sloth has algae growing on it. green algae. You know what lives in the fur of this sloth? Cockroaches. All kinds of bad critters. Because he's lazy. He's lazy. Don't be slothful in effort. I have another video about how fast an ant moves. But just a minute here. A slug, 180 feet, that's 3 inches per second, 900 feet an hour. A slug doesn't move, and this sloth doesn't move very fast. He moves real slow. And he moves like 9 feet in an hour. Okay? Is that how you serve the Lord? Are you excited to serve the Lord, or are you a lazy servant? Are you a lazy servant? You've buried your talent, your gift from the Holy Spirit. You've dug a hole. You've buried it. You were hurt years ago, and I'm never going to get hurt again. And you've dug a hole, and it's just sitting there. And Jesus may say to you, you wicked and lazy servant. You didn't put to use what I gave you. Now you know what you look like and all them critters climbing under your spiritual skin. Be zealous in serving the Lord, the ant. The ant. An ant, I watched this video yesterday. You can YouTube it. An ant moves at 3 inches per second, or a foot every 4 seconds on an average. One ant moved 3-point-something seconds a whole foot. You know how little an ant is? They traveled a foot in 4 seconds. You know how fast an ant will travel? 900 feet per hour. Its body length, when scaled up to a human size, listen to this, travels at 129.88 miles per hour. Just a little ant, if it was scaled up to human size. We're to be zealous in serving the Lord, not lazy. You're to use your gift, and you're to be fervent in using your gift to serve the Lord. Now, I also know, I prepared this message, I drove out of the parking lot, and there was a song, Breathe, on. Breathe. Going down the, how's it go, Randy? Going down the road, 90 miles an hour. And then what else? You gulp your coffee down, and you drink coffee, and you feel like you're wired all the time, and, you know, you're like me, just wired to go. And sometimes you just have to stop and breathe. You see, there's two extremes to this. The reality is, you can be so involved in ministry that you have take your eyes off of your family. You can be so involved in ministering to other kids that you neglect your own kids. Right? And sometimes you have to stop and breathe and focus. So there's a fine line, what I'm trying to say here, there's a fine line between being gifted and doing everything and being gifted and doing nothing with your gift. There's really a fine line of being faithful. Choosing your ministry, getting involved in your ministry, and being faithful with that ministry. And serving the Lord with your whole heart. Don't do it half-hearted. Be zealous about it. Your ministry, be zealous in it, and serve the Lord. That's the church, a lot of things. And if you need help in finding your gift, maybe some other time we'll talk about that, how to discover your gift. But let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your word this morning. I tried to cover a lot of stuff, Jesus. Please make some clarity in someone's heart as you have spoken to them, according to your will and your purpose and your design for them being here this morning in this message. And I pray, Lord, that you would give the increase into people's lives and into this body of Christ, and that we would all do our part in the body, being knit together and serving in our part, edifying each other in love. Oh Christ, your word is so beautiful. We love you and we love your word. Thank you for it. Amen.